Joe Miller has lost his case against the state. Today, the Alaska Supreme Court handed down its decision in the long-running legal challenge over the handling of write-in votes in the November election. KSKA's Ellen Lockyer has more.
After lower court Judge William Carey ruled against Miller, the Republican U.S. Senate candidate appealed his case to the state Supreme Court. Four state Supreme Court justices heard attorneys argue for and against Miller's complaint last Friday. The justices took the matter under advisement. Today, they announced their verdict. The state Supreme Court upholds the summary judgment granted by the Superior Court on all counts. Miller had challenged the state's Division of Elections and its newly sworn-in director, Meade Treadwell, on six counts. Miller's oft-stated goal of forcing the state to clarify its own laws regarding the counting of write-in ballots topped the list. But Miller and his camp also alleged various voter improprieties, charging that felons were allowed to vote in some precincts. Today, the justices said that they had been guided by principles that had consistently been applied by the Alaska courts for the past 50 years. Miller attorney Mike Morley had argued that the lieutenant governor and the Division of Elections decided to interpret the law by accepting voter intent as validation of a write-in ballot rather than adhering strictly to state statutes by accepting ballots with minor misspellings of the write-in candidate's name.
The position that the state is articulating is inviting this court, in the name of voter intent, to ignore the plain standard set forth in the statute and to imply a substitute standard under the ballot. These provisions are mandatory. Ballots may not be counted if they fail to satisfy these rules. There are no exceptions to these rules. The statutes aren't supposed to be massaged to allow as many ballots in as possible.
Morley responded emphatically to Justice Dana Fabe's question.
But if the right to vote is a key right in a participatory democracy, and if the right to freely cast one's ballot is a fundamental right, how do we preserve the rights of the voters and not to be disenfranchised if we interpret the statute the way you suggest? And in fact, isn't it our duty to interpret the statute in a way that doesn't disenfranchise any voter?
Your Honor, respectfully, no, because again, as this court held, when you're dealing with mandatory statutory provisions, this court must adopt a strict construction.
But the high court justices disagreed, saying the court must interpret election statutes to ensure inclusion of voters rather than exclusion of them. In today's decision, they said the right of a citizen to cast votes is a bedrock principle, a fundamental prerogative of citizenship, and cited precedent in declaring that, quote, the voter shall not be disenfranchised because of mere mistake, but the intention shall prevail. On Miller's challenge to misspellings, the High Court stated, quote, we do not interpret the statute to require perfection in the manner that the candidate's name is written on the ballot. The justices also ruled against Miller's insistence that only his interpretation of the state election statute ensures the integrity of the electoral process, saying that Miller's interpretation would only erode the system because it would result in the disenfranchisement of some voters with disabilities or language difficulties, and that could reject election results that indicate the will of the people. As to Miller's contention that bureaucrats or elections officials get to decide elections by their interpretation of the state statute, the justices said no, that only one person, the Division of Elections Director Gail Finumiai, made the determination regarding voter intent. Lieutenant Governor Meade Treadwell, who was named in the case since his swearing in, said today the decision allows the state to return to federal court to lift the stay on election certification issued by federal judge Ralph Beistlein.
A thorough reading of the opinion thoroughly backs up what the Division of Elections did, found tremendous consistency in the way that Gail Finouye ran this election, and very proud of that.
Treadwell said paperwork could be filed as early as today. If the federal court agrees, Senator Lisa Murkowski could be seated on January 3rd, he said.
Even a contest of the election would not bar certification, and so we intend to follow that advice, go back to federal court, and as soon as the federal court lifts the stay on certification, Director Finumiai will certify, and then Governor Parnell and I will sign the paperwork that goes to the U.S. Senate.
There are some hanging threads. The justices did not include Miller's contention regarding alleged voting by an unknown number of felons, saying that Miller amended his complaint to include this allegation too late for the Superior Court to rule on the motion to amend before issuing its summary judgment ruling. The Supreme Court said in light of requests for expedited ruling, the justices did not wait for a final judgment on felon voting allegations from the Superior Court. Treadwell said today that he did not see that issue as a potential block, as there is no evidence regarding felon voting. I'm Ellen Lockyer.